WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw. I'm here.
This is a Raw Post Show presented, as always, by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I am Sarah, and joined, as always, by Lindsay Ward.
We're back. There's no power outage tonight. We can actually do a post show. Woo! That's what happened last week. Rock's power went out, and so I don't have access to the streams, and my internet is crap, and so I did not stream because y'all don't want me talking about Raw by myself, because there would be tangents and it would be boring, and yeah. So that's why we didn't do a show, but we're back and we're live, and Seth Rollins ripped off Bray Wyatt. I'm not gonna let this go. I'm not gonna let this go. Okay, he didn't rip him off. Totally. He's better dressed. I will give him that. Even if he does the one glove. But Bray also did the one glove.
I was going to say, Bray did the one glove as well.
Yeah, Bray did the one glove.
It was more like a hand wrap thing.
It was like a fingerless glove kind of thing, except his thumb was covered for some reason. I'm not sure why his thumb was covered. I think he used to stab people in the eye with his thumb. I think that's what he used to do. So, but I know he wore it because it's like a family thing, like his family, because he's from a wrestling family, they like all cover up their right hand or something like that.
Because Bo did it forever.
I think Bo still does it.
I haven't seen Bo in forever.
Where is Bo Dallas? Does anybody know where he is other than home? Hopefully safe. Like, where did Bo Dallas go? I have questions.
So, explain why you think Seth Rollins stole Bray's gimmick.
Okay. All right. Well, number one, he's running a cult, right? The child encounters Bray Wyatt, and now he's the leader of a cult. But tonight on Raw, as Dominik and Rey Mysterio are having a father-son heart-to-heart in the middle of the ring, as you tend to do in WWE, they're talking about Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins Seth Rollins.
Hold on, before that, Rey Mysterio brought out his son to the ring because he didn't return a phone call. Anyway, continue.
And they had the heart-to-heart in the middle of the ring, as you tend to do in WWE.
Yeah.
Because everything is public. So anyway, they're having this chat, and out comes Seth Rollins, right? And Seth Rollins is cutting this promo on Dominik and Mysterio, and he's running his mouth. We're sitting here going behind you, because the disciples are gonna come up behind you. And then Seth gave us a very good example of how he drops to his knees, and he holds out his arms, laughing and smiling. as another former, now resurrected, cult leader once did in the form of Bray Wyatt. So I don't know if because Seth fought Bray Wyatt and the Fiend messed him up that he's emulating Bray Wyatt. I'm not sure, but just to back this up further, you then had Murphy and Austin Theory come out and back up Rollins and stand on either side of him as the Wyatt family used to do before Black and Humberto attack them. So I'm not sure if this is an ode to the Wyatt family or if this is a straight up just representation of the Wyatt family. It's very confusing to me because you have Seth leading a cult, essentially doing Bray Wyatt. I think it's very clear that's what he's emulating or what they want him to emulate, whether he's doing it by choice or that's what creative has told him to do. I don't know. But it is very, very, very reminiscent of Bray. And then over on SmackDown, Dorky McDorkface, who sat in a corner, supposedly for, 3 weeks, crying about how he lost to Braun Strowman and learning how to knit, raised the dead because he became a necromancer. Don't know how that's a thing, but that's a thing. And resurrected the old Bray Wyatt from the dead. So now the swamp original Bray Wyatt is back to supposedly kill Braun Strowman. I'm confused.
Okay. What happened was Humberto and Aleister Black made the save. They all kind of had a big-ass brawl. They tried to put Dominic's face back through the steps to be an eye for an eye. That did not happen. It left Rollins and crew running to the back, basically, to end Monday Night Raw.
It was a great ending to the show. Like, it was really good. I enjoyed this immensely. It's just when that happened, it's like that. That is like straight up, I know that pose, I know that laugh, I know that whole look, right? All too well. So it's like, is it because the Swamp Leader's back that now Seth is doing the Swamp Leader? Like, are the two connected? Because that's where my brain goes, right? Because again, it's like, if you look at the way that the Fiend operates, is everybody except for Goldberg that has faced the Fiend has changed in some regard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Miz is back with Morrison and he's being a bad guy. Seth is back to being a bad guy and he's morphed into this cult leader as the Monday Night Messiah. Daniel Bryan became bad guy for a while. Daniel Bryan became a good guy.
Yeah, he brought back the Yes Movement.
He brought back the Yes Movement because of Bray Wyatt. So like everybody is changed. And I mean, you could say that Goldberg left the company. But anyway, everybody is somewhat changed when they encounter the Fiend. So, and this is where my little, like, brain goes is, okay, so if the Fiend, is everybody's behavior dependent on what Bray Wyatt does? Because there's, like, this interconnective kind of collective sort of thing. Or is it just, it's crazy random happenstance that Seth Rollins is doing Bray Wyatt when the Swamp Leader came back on Friday? Because it would be really cool if that was actually a thing. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying that they thought that far ahead or that deeply into it, but that's just me. It's like, the people's general reactions are dependent on somewhat on what Bray Wyatt does emotionally when he's not smacking his rabbit.
Just gonna leave that one alone. So, anyway, getting back to Raw and not the Bray Wyatt show.
But I want to talk about Bray. I've been able to talk about him in 3 weeks.
Huh. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about it Thursday on the 8-year episode of The Rack.
Oh my god, is it the 8-year episode of The Rack?
Yep.
This has been the longest, like, weekend ever.
Anyway, let's get through Monday Night Raw. Things happened. Anything you can do, I can do better, was a theme for the last 9 weeks, whatever it may be. Tonight, they finally got in the ring, Street Profits and the Viking Raiders, for the Raw Tag Team titles.
He does. Anyway, I'm sorry, go on.
He likes to watch it hot. The Street Profits retained.
This is a really, really, really good match. I enjoyed this immensely.
Garza and Andrade attacked. Viking Raiders made the save.
Which is good that they're friends and they made the save. That's awesome. So Garza and Andrade want the tag titles. Can they get along long enough to win them? We'll have to see. Zelina keep her boys in line?
We'll have to see. Natalya took on Liv Morgan.
Wait. Brent, that's what he sings to keep rhythm. Anyway, yes.
Natalya and Liv Morgan had a match. Natalya had an important announcement to make, but they were out of time because Sarah was there late or something. I don't know. So Natty beat Liv. Lana was at ringside. Natty and Lana are a pairing. Later on, Liv is all upset She runs into Ruby. Ruby was trying to console her, it seemed like, but Liv wanted none of it. That sum it up?
Yes, and I just have to say, if Lana is managing Natty, I'm kind of okay with that. I feel like she could give Natty that little something that Natty kind of lacks in certain respects, which is the talking aspect. Natty can cut a great promo. Natty's acting ability, though, has always been a little problematic for me. Personally, I'm sure other people think she's a great actress, and she gives it a hell of a try. She does it way better than I ever could. But Lana just knows how to act. She knows how to get herself over, and she knows how to get other people over. And I feel like this could be a really, really strong, good pairing for both of them, especially now that you've taken Lana out of the Bobby Lashley storyline. It's a good place for her to land. As for Liv and Ruby, they got issues they need to settle.
Put them back together
ultimately, because they're good together, but they have issues they need to settle first.
Your WWE champion, Drew McIntyre, opened up Monday Night Raw. He walked over on the show, and then Dolph Ziggler's music hit. A couple weeks ago, AJ Styles was traded to SmackDown. In return, Raw got Dolph Ziggler and apparently Robert Roode.
Okay.
Whenever he can get back into the country.
At some point.
Ziggler brought up how McIntyre was fired last time in WWE. He said he's the one reason why he's back on Raw. They became a dominant tag team, and now McIntyre is a dominant WWE champion because of Dolph Ziggler. And Dolph Ziggler, who's been losing a lot on SmackDown, says he's here on Raw to get what he's owed, a WWE title match.
You're owed a WWE title match. You're not owed anything.
So McIntyre, the gullible one that he is, said, sure, I need an opponent. I'll fight you. You haven't earned it, but hey, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre at Extreme Rules. Spoiler alert, Drew McIntyre wins.
Dude!
What?
WTF!
What?
Why would you spoil that?
Am I wrong?
I don't know. Hadn't happened yet.
Do you really think Dolph Ziggler's gonna beat Drew McIntyre?
He could! This is wrestling! This is WWE! You don't know what they're gonna do!
I clearly know Dolph Ziggler's losing.
We don't know what's going to happen in the new writing era regime thing.
Yeah, there's one thing, Sarah. Dolph Ziggler does not win a WWE title.
Anyway, I think the more important thing is that Drew apparently called himself Big Daddy Claymore, which freaked out Tumblr because that's what they call him.
He's on Tumblr.
Drew McIntyre's on Tumblr, confirmed.
No, Ash, it's not in the can. I'm just saying, it's spoiler alert, Dolph Ziggler has no effing chance at winning.
Based on Dolph Ziggler's current track record in WWE, it is probably very unlikely that he will win the title, the main title. They seem to like to keep him relegated to ICUS level or tag level. They don't really like to take him back up to the world championship level again, just because it didn't pan out the last couple times that he was champion. Even though I thought he was a perfectly fine champion, he just got concussed. The last time, so...
Which was seven years ago,
and they lost faith in him, and then he's not really ever been able to get that spot back. But like I said, with the new ratings regime, with them looking to find a way to fix the ratings, to fix a lot of the problems in the shows, to make them more dynamic...
Dolph Ziggler's not the answer. Anyway...
Would you let me finish?
No, I'm not letting you put Dolph Ziggler over anymore. He's done. We're done with it. Try and finish.
Dolph Ziggler could totally win the title. It's plausible.
I like how she got really deep into the microphone on that one.
I'm trying to do the thing, but it's right here, so it's hard to put it right up. I don't have one of the... I have a arm mic. It's upstairs in my office, but I'm doing the show down in my living room in front of my TV, so...
Anyway, moving on, he says. Because there's a lot more to get to. Because let's all pull up a chair and sit in the ring, because Nia Jax's here to complain. Oh, I got screwed out of my title match at Backlash because I couldn't get back in the ring fast enough. Then I got fast counted.
She did get fast counted.
She did. Blah, 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 blah. R-Truth came out. He wondered if she was up to Kira Tozawa. Okay. Kira Tozawa popped up and chased him out with the ninjas. Then Charlotte came out. She talked about how Nia squandered her last two title changes and dropped the ball. And Jax talked about, well, you only get opportunities because your father's Ric Flair. You're Charlotte. You're Ric Flair's daughter. Blah, 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 blah. Charlotte says, my father's new title is Charlotte Flair's dad. And he loves it. And then there was going to be a point where I thought, oh, Charlotte's going to do the one thing we all talk about. Because she was hinting at it. Because she was bringing up the family. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was going to actually mention the family portion. but they quickly went away from it. Because she was hinting at it very hard why Naya's relevant.
As her cousin's in the audience, by the way.
Yep.
And by cousin, I mean the Rock's daughter
yep.
was in the audience.
Yep. Then Flair talked about, you know, this and that, and Naya's like, you never beat me, yada, yada, yada. I'm the only woman built to beat you to take your crown. So they brawled. Charlotte's arm got hurt in the match, in the fight.
Okay. I will say Naya did get screwed last week on Raw because John Cone did fast counter. She does have a gripe there. Right?
Yeah, I guess. She's still lost.
She's still lost, but she does have a gripe there. Does it mean you go out and you whine about it in the ring? I don't know. That's up to her. I just have one question about Charlotte.
Hmm.
And so does she have like formal and informal robes? Because I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but she went out there in the all gold robe. Like just all gold. Very nice. Actually, it's not my favorite robe of hers. I really don't like it. But anyway, she went out there in it, she battled Nia Jax, she fought Nia Jax in it, and then later when she came out for Asuka, she was in a different gold and black lace robe with the peacock feathers and the rhinestones and everything. So I have to wonder, are there formal robes and informal robes, you know, robes that are okay for fighting in, but not okay for going to matches in? Like, I'm really curious about this now if she has, like, basically dress robes. I really want to know.
Tweet her and find out.
It has nothing to do with wrestling. But that is how I entertain my brain, like, my entertain myself when watching wrestling, is that is what my brain thinks is, huh, I wonder if she has dress robes or if she, they're just all just, you know, she brought too many and so she has to wear them all. And, yeah.
So Asuka and Charlotte battled for the Raw Women's title. Charlotte's arm was a key portion of this matchup. As Asuka got the win, tapping out Charlotte Flair.
The show's taped on two different days, but Raw, it's basically the way that they shoot it is they shoot Raw SmackDown for 1 week and then they do Raw SmackDown for the next week. And that's how they do it over the 2 days. They don't break Raw up over the period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, technically they could because they have it all canned, so they could piecemeal it if they want, but that's just too much work. But this was a really, really, really good match. This was, I mean, you can't miss with Charlotte and Asuka. You can't.
Nia attacked Charlotte backstage afterwards. So there was that.
So it looks like we're setting up Charlotte and Nia.
And Asuka. Yeah, just Charlotte and Nia. Probably at Extreme Rules.
Which I would be interested in seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been protecting Nia for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I have to believe this is it.
Staying with the women, Sasha and Bayley took on the Iconics for the women's tag team titles. Solid match between the two teams. Sasha and Bayley retain afterwards. Sasha's like, I'm a little jealous. You're Bayley dose straps, and I want a title match. At Extreme Rules, I am officially challenging Asuka for the Raw Women's title. And Bayley and Sasha took down Asuka. So there you go.
I like this. I like this a lot. And just to answer LeMans, yeah, it does suck that they gave up on Shayna. I really hate that they gave up on Shayna. That's a missed opportunity on my part, for me.
On their part,
yeah. Shayna could be everything they want her to be if they let her, but they're not going to let her, so that sucks. But yeah, I like this. I like this a lot. I will take Sasha and Asuka all day long. I'm here for that. So this was good.
You had the MVP lounge with Apollo Crews as the guest, and there was a lot of talking from MVP, and he wanted Apollo to join him. Crews doesn't want to join him, and MVP put himself over. Crews wanted to know if MVP was going to fight. Shelton Benjamin came out, and, you know, that led to the match between Apollo Crews and Shelton Benjamin. Apollo Crews quickly won that match. Afterwards, MVP was clapping and all that fun stuff, but Crews was having none of MVP stuff until Lashley came out, and then Lashley laid him out with the full Nelson.
So it looks like we're building a feud between Bobby Lashley and Apollo Crews.
It appears that is the direction we are going.
I'm fine with that. I'm here for it.
R-Truth lost his 24/7 championship to the ninja Akira Tozawa.
This is after Bobby Lashley came out and took them both out.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, they have Bobby Lashley being more aggressive. I'm here for this. And with MVP by his side, I'm again here for this because it gives Bobby that extra little oomph that he needs, especially in the talking portion of what he's trying to do. So the fact that you have MVP doing all the talking for him, that's great. That's perfect. That's MVP's strong point right there.
So you had Edge sitting in a ring in a corner. So here we are, Randy. You wanted backlash, you know, and all that stuff. I got hurt. You hit on the RKO, I tore my tricep. And so he felt the panic when he was about to lock in the submission, but then Orton coincidentally hit him with a low blow. And so he locked Raw last week, and Orton put himself over as the greatest wrestler ever because, you know, he beat him, and that means the world to him. And so he's disappointed that he didn't see the low blow coming, and even because he didn't do it first, he said that won't happen again. He said Orton credited him with lighting the fire and reminding him who he is. Ed said the match, the injury, and not being able to pick up his daughters on Father's Day showed him that he needed to wake up a part of himself that has been dormant for too long. Talked about how what Orton did to Christian. You know, he hasn't been in the ring in 6 years. They've been best friends for 36. Ed said Christian walked with him through every trial and tribulation in his life. He said he was putting to bed the guy who was just happy to be back doing what he loves. He's putting to bed the PG superstar. Ed said Orton woke up the part of him who will do whatever it takes to get what he wants and doesn't care what he has to do to get to the top.
Ah! Sorry.
Doesn't care what he has to do to get to the top. Ed said he will embarrass and emasculate Orton and make him wish that Cowboy Bob was firing blanks the night he was conceived.
That was a really strong line. Sorry. I have to do this apparently one point in the show or another where I almost drop my phone and it starts a video where I'm not expecting it to start a video. With sound.
Yep.
So, anyway. Service announcement to advertisers everywhere. Do not put videos in your ads that start with sound. You're not supposed to do that. Anyway, I'm sorry. Back to the task at hand.
Ed says he knows Orton has voices in his head, but he will scream louder than them all. He said he will tear Orton's life apart brick by brick. You have no idea what you've done. You woke up the evil. You woke up the rated R superstar. Get some sleep while you can. This was fantastic.
Okay, so I was dreading this all day the second they announced this because basically my old man...
We'll talk about that Thursday.
I'm just going to go ahead and talk about it now. Kind of.
No.
Yes.
No. No.
Shut up.
No.
Shut
We're
up.
Saving it.
Let me make my point. So basically, my old man, maybe kind of sort of possibly retired last night on the final episode of The Last Ride. Spoilers. If you haven't watched it, by the way, go watch it. Just make sure you have your tissues handy because you're going to ugly cry. I ugly cry through it. So anyway, so I was dreading this all day because they're like, Edge gives an update on his status. And I'm like, I swear to God, if Edge and The Undertaker retire within 24 hours of each other, I am not going to be okay. Like, somebody's going to have to, like, hold me back kind of thing. So I was so happy that Edge was like, F you, I'm going to get better and come back and kill you. It just made me so, so happy. It's like, thank God. I also like how on the 36 years, I've known Jay for 36 years, he stops himself because he almost said 30 fucking 6 years. Like, you see him start to say it, and he's like, nope, pulling that back. So yeah, but this was so, so good.
So, Ric Flair comes to the ring, talks about how people ask him, who's the greatest performer today? Everyone wants to be the best, but only one can be. He said, it's Randy Orton. Talked about what happened with Orton putting Edge and Christian back into retirement within 24 hours of each other. Flair brought out Orton. He called him the most dominant performer in WWE. He's the best performer in history of WWE. Orton said it was nostalgic that they were in the ring and are half of Evolution. Orton said nostalgia can be confused with legacy. Nice phrasing. Orton said nostalgic... that Flair proved to be the dirtiest player in the game, and he punt kicked Christian. Orton spoke about the fire in his gun and said the desire to be called the Legend Killer isn't nostalgic, it's legacy. Out came the Big Show. Big Show had enough. He wasn't going to let Flair glorify what Orton did. He said, Edge and Christian are my friends, and Orton will pay. Big Show called Orton a parasite who will feed off anyone who will take him to the next level. said, Show said Orton latches to honor people like Edge who will make him better. Show said it's because Orton lacks the motivation to make himself better. Show said Orton doesn't care about Edge, Christian, or their families. Show said Orton is just like every other parasite. Once you get what you want, you leave the host and die. He said that Edge wouldn't get the satisfaction of taking out Orton alone because he was going to break every bone in his body. Orton says Show respects Flair and won't hurt him, and Show won't touch him because they are friends. Orton said Show is a future Hall of Famer. Some might even say that you're a legend. He said it would be a shame if Show suffered the same fate as Edge and Christian. Orton then bailed.
Okay, can I ask why everybody was so sweaty? What was going on in that building that everyone, I mean everyone except for Charlie Caruso, who looked fabulous.
Okay, before we continue, big props to Charlie. She was interviewing everyone. I'm not going through all of her interviews because she interviewed every person.
Yeah, like something would happen, boom, she was right there. Something else would happen, boom, she's there. Top quality journalism from Charlie Caruso. You go. You go. You do that. And then they had Sarah Schreiber, I think.
Interview Natty.
Interview Natty, and she did a couple, but, you know, for the most part, it was Charlie Caruso carrying the show, looking fabulous, and being the boss that she is. Go, Charlie, go. But anyway, why was everyone so sweaty? I really need to know that, because it's like Seth Rollins was drenched, Big Show was drenched, Randy Orton was drenched, Edge was drenched. Like, and Edge, I don't think, was even in the same building. Like, what was going on there? What did they just all go stand outside in the rain? Because I'm pretty sure they had weather when they shot this. Or did they go stand in a shower? Like, was it just hot in there? Because I know it's Florida in the summer and it's a little warm. Like, are they having climate control problems? What is going on in that building? It's concerning. You should not be that sweaty. This is how I entertain myself watching wrestling. Right here. This is it.
Sorry, the Orton Big Show feud is a thing we're about to see. Because the Legend Killer is back.
I'm okay with the Legend Killer being back. I always liked the Legend Killer gimmick. I thought it was really good until he ran out of legends.
So 10 years have passed and we have other supposed legends. So here we are.
I'm not sure I'm crazy about a Big Show Randy Orton feud. Just because I've seen those and I don't know if they're going to be any better than they were in the past. But we'll see. Because it gives them both something to do, and right now they need names and they need stars on the show. And Randy and Big Show are definitely fill that qualification, hands down. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes.
So that's Raw.
That's Raw in a nutshell. Seth Rollins ripped off Bray Wyatt.
Maybe we'll talk about Bray Wyatt. We're definitely talking about The Undertaker. We go 8 years of The Rack Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in. We are going to do the 8-year show. It's just going to be a standard show. We're not doing Ask the Rack this year or anything like that. So we're going to be doing news notes, NXT, Tweet of the Week will be back. We are talking about the final episode of The Last Ride, which is the documentary on The Undertaker. I would strongly suggest, if you have not watched it, watch it by Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Otherwise, spoilers. Because there is a lot to break down, there's a lot to talk about in this episode, and you're going to ugly cry when you watch it. Just, I promise you, it's just that good. So yeah, all that fun stuff. We're also maybe going to have a discussion, I don't know, because we have to look at everything that's happened, because much news.
Our discussion's taker. That's what we're discussing this week.
We're trying to figure out all the news and everything like that, so... Tune in Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Just going to say it now. It's going to be a touchy subject on Thursday. We'll address it all, but we'll handle it. But it's going to be an interesting one Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, midnight edition, another edition of Superior, SuperLive.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for Raw Post at 11 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you check us out on twitch.tv/TheReachYourLive, where if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. Use them here. Before anyone else returns, use them here. You can use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop, #ad, #EpicPartner, and check out when we go live with Fortnite with friends every Thursday and Saturday nights. Go ahead.
You can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at LensWard, LANSWRD. If you like crappy unboxing videos, event videos, you know, occasionally when I do actually stream and my internet works, you can follow me twitch.tv/Linz Ward. If we get to affiliate, I get a custom emote and you get fish butts. Follow the channel before anybody maybe kind of comes back, because things happen today. So if you want semi-quality content that is not going to annoy you with a bunch of notifications, I'm your channel. But if you just want to come hang out whenever I'm live, that's fine too.
This has been the Rob Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for 8 years on the rack. Right back here for the Rob Post Show every Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.